Reading to you from the 5th chapter of John, and with the 24th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe, Energenoma, converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, I'm getting stronger every day. I'm still weak as a cat, but I'm getting stronger. And I'm strong enough now that I can start making tapes again and preaching the gospel in prison. Keep me in your prayers. I just want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke, and let's begin reading with the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his feet full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to them, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they would repent. And he said to them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Well, friends, after hearing that text, you're probably saying, well, it seems to me like Cecil Moe is a hellfire brimstone preacher. Wrong. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a God-called evangelist. What's an evangelist's job? To tell people about Jesus. Now, if you spend any time in the Bible, especially the New Testament, you'll find Jesus spent more time talking about hell than he did heaven. Why? Because he didn't want anyone to go there. Recently, a man said to me, Cecil, how could you love a God that would send a man to a devil's hell where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and forever? Friend, God does not send people to hell. Listen to what it says in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son hath eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remaineth on him. In layman's language, the decision where you will spend eternity is in your mouth. Romans 10:8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, we see that Lazarus had a name, but the rich man did not. God knew Lazarus, but he did not know the rich man. Jesus said, my sheep shall know my name and follow me. Lazarus knew Jesus, the rich man he did not. The rich man, of course, was rich, but Lazarus was poor and disabled. Now, notice the difference between difference and death. Lazarus went to paradise, and the rich man died and was buried. Folks, I've had the honor of being executive director of three rescue missions, Grand Forks, North Dakota, Youngstown, Ohio, and Moultrie, Georgia. I've dealt with people who were alcoholics, drug addicts, mentally disabled people. We loved those men and women, introduced them to Christ. Many rejected Christ, like this rich man, and ended up in hell. We had a young Indian boy living in the mission. He was about 19 years old. Every Saturday night, I preached the mission, and I'd also make my radio broadcast from four other stations. When it came time for the service, I would go down to the dormitory and invite the men to come to the service. I never forced them to come, but I did turn off the TV and the radio. Everybody came up the stairs but this young Indian boy. I said, aren't you coming up? And he said, and he came apart. He said, I don't want to come to any blankety-blank preaching service and listen about a blankety-blank God. I am sure he had been drinking. I started up the steps, and then I turned around and says, James, you will be sorry you said that. The next morning at 8 a.m., I received a call from the police department. They said, do you have a James Anoka living in the mission? I said, yes, why? They said, last night he staggered across the railroad track, was hit by a train, and was cut into a million pieces. See, in North Dakota, everybody has to have a Christian burial. So it was up to me to preach James' funeral. I went to the funeral home, and there was a casket. No flowers, no family members. I walked up to the casket, and I said, James, why? Why didn't you listen? Friends, today, my little friend, Indian boy, James, is in the same hell that the rich man is in. Okay, we see the rich man in hell and Lazarus in paradise. Listen, folks, this meant rich man was not a terrible person. He was probably socially accepted by the people in his town. He was not a murderer. Then why is he in hell? Because he never gave God a second thought. Many times I've talked to inmates who have told me that they were glad that they were sent to prison. On the outside, they never had time for God, just wine, woman, and song. Maybe you're in that condition tonight. You now have time to take inventory of your life and turn your life over to Christ. This sad scene in hell, the rich man begging for a chance to go back and tell his five brothers not to come to this terrible place. Friends, listen, there's no second chance. When you're died, you are sealed where you will spend eternity. It's appointed, and a man wants to die in the judgment thereafter. After my mother died when I was 13 years old, I began thinking about death. I knew within my own heart, if I were to die, I would surely go to a devil's hell. Why? Because I knew that I was a sinner. Then when I was 17 years old, my dad put me in the Navy. World War II was raging. I was sent to the Aleutian Islands to repair submarines. There's nothing to do in that cold place but drinking. That I did. By the time I was 18, I was a full-blown alcoholic. We had two men aboard our ship who were Christians. Boy, they bugged me. We made fun of them. We called them names. But deep down in my heart, I admired them. One night, they talked me into going to a revival meeting at the submarine base. This little fat preacher got up and pointed his finger at me and said, unless you repent, you're going to go to a devil's hell. I jumped up and ran out of the meeting and went back to the ship. The two Christian boys came back to the ship and said, Cecil, where did you go? I said, didn't you hear that preacher tell me I was going to hell? Now listen, the war is over. I came home. I married my brother's 17-year-old babysitter. I told her, be sure you couldn't do any better. She soon found out that she'd made a terrible mistake by marrying me. One night I came home drunk out of my mind, and she said, Cecil, you have a drinking problem. I said, no, I don't. I said, I'm a party animal. Love to go to the bar and get on the piano and organ and entertain people. So to get a little peace of mind, I went to a shrink and a psychologist and then a brain specialist, and he said he couldn't find anything wrong with my brain. Then I started drinking in Skid Row. I've always felt sorry for poor people and people who didn't get a fair shake in life, so I would take my entire paycheck, go down to Skid Row, and I'd buy lots of Apple Andy booze, and we'd drink. And oh, friends, listen, I want you to know. One night, the boys had rolled me, and I woke up in an alley with only 25 cents in my pocket. So I walked into a dump, got me a bowl of soup from One Dime, leaving me 15 cents to get home on the trackless trolley. While slurping my soup, I heard beautiful church music. It was coming from a mission church down the street. I walked in there, smoking a Lucky Strike, and they told me to throw the butt out and sit down, so I did. I just sat down, and a guy got up behind me and said, I used to be an alcoholic. One day Jesus saved me. Now I'm happy and sober. Boy, that troubled me. I thought, how did Jesus know I was here? The preacher got up and said a few words. Then they started singing Just As I Am, and people started walking down the aisle to the altar. Hey, I didn't want to miss out, so I walked down there. There was Christian workers talking to the people who were come forward. When the worker came to me and saw vomit on me and smelt the wine on my breath, he passed me by. I truly doubt if that worker knew Jesus or he would have cared. I went home and told my wife and that I'd been to church. Of course, she didn't believe me. Well, I told my wife, if you'd go to Seattle with me and the kids, I'll quit drinking. And so we moved to Seattle, and I got a job contracting there, and my wife got a job cooking in a restaurant. And she got enough money that she could buy her a cute little two-door Ford. Boy, that bothered me. She was really getting independent. One night I borrowed her car and went to a bar, and then I used to drink. I always had a tab at my favorite water hole, but this bartender cut me off. He said, pay up or no more drinks. So what did I do? I sold the bartender my wife's car and got some money in return. When my wife walked in the bar, I could have died. Well, our marriage was on the rock for several years. My drinking got worse. Now I'm Leonard's job in Fairbanks, Alaska as a superintendent for a large construction company. I told my wife if she'd go with me and I'd quit drinking, so her and the three boys, we got in my 1946 Buick Roadmaster, took off 6 days on the road, all gravel, no pavement, mosquitoes the size of birds. We arrived. I kept my promise. I didn't drink for 6 weeks. Then you guessed it, I fell off the wagon. Now, me and a plumber drank a fifth of Jim Beam whiskey, and I was racing home to face my wife, and a state police started chasing me. I truly thought I could outrun him with that big Buick. What a mistake. Well, I fought with him, and he cuffed me and took me to the federal prison. No city jails. They booked me on 5 charges. That night, I knelt beside my bunk and told the Lord I was in a whole heap of hurt. And I asked him to get me out of this mess if he could. Friends, listen. I was always trying to cut a deal with God. I didn't know Jesus. No, I didn't. I prayed since I was a little boy, but I did not know Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't know he was my personal Savior. Maybe some of you are that way. You go to church, you read the Bible, you pray, and yet you're still lost. Well, anyway, they got me out for $100, and I went to this preacher's home. I promised the Lord I'd go see a preacher if I got out of prison. I went to that preacher, and I told him I was a mess. And you know what he told me? He said, how old are you, son? I said, I'm 30. Well, he said, you can't be an alcoholic till at least 48. Well, that preacher was told me the biggest lie of my life. Well, we finished the job up, and we went back to Seattle. One night I stole a bottle of booze, and me and my friends came home drunk out of our minds. And I gave the bottle to my wife and told her to fix us a drink. And instead, she poured the whole bottle down the sink. I told my wife she'd thrown my best friend down the sink. And she replied, that is your only friend. That night, she told me she was taking our 4 children and moving back to Portland. I told her she could not live without me. Big mistake. I shouldn't have said that. That night I got up and had DTs, and at 2 a.m. I got up and kidnapped my oldest boy and went to an old winer's house with whom I used to drink. I told him my wife kicked me out and was leaving me. I thought, listen to the friend, I thought I heard a little voice tell me to drive my truck off the cliff and everything would be okay. Instead, I called a preacher out of bed that I didn't even know. I told him I was going to take my life, but I was so afraid to die. He told me to come to his house, and this is about 3 a.m. When I got to his house, I just sat and cried. Pretty soon he told me that God loved me, and I laughed at him. He told me that Nicodemus and Jesus about when Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, that morning, knowing absolutely no theology, I knelt on my knees and I cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, that's been 52 years ago. 1 year later, God called me to preach. And that's what I'm doing here tonight, telling you what Jesus did for me. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great man. I'm not a smart man. But I was smart enough to know that I was a sinner and that I was going to hell just like the rich man. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, tonight maybe you're on the road to hell, but you want to change it all. And you say, I feel a little tugging in my heart, Cecil. Do you really feel a tug in your heart? Are you willing to turn your back on the old way of life and become as a little child and say, Lord, I am a sinner? If you are, listen. You see, Lazarus is in heaven tonight, but the rich man will spend all eternity in hell. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Friends, hell is a burning place. Now, it was not made for you and I. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But because of Adam and Eve and their sinning in the garden cast forth, man had a curse upon him. And the only way that a man can get into heaven is through accepting God's precious Son as their Lord and Savior. And that's what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, friends, having this cancer operation was a blessing. Before I went in there, I heard about a man that was an alcoholic, just like I was. He was losing his business. And he called me and he wanted to talk to me, and I told him where I lived. And he came to my home on a Sunday afternoon. And there in my living room, I shared with him the same story I shared with you tonight. And that man, with tears in his eyes, he fell upon his knees and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God has since restored his business. He's doing real well and he's growing like a weed. He's reading his Bible. He's witnessing and doing what the Bible said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become as new. Friends, listen, a guy asked me, and I was turned along, well, Cecil, are you perfect now that you're sober? No, I said, I'm not perfect, but I'm sure a whole better, lot better than I was a few years ago when I was an alcoholic. Well, friends, listen. Maybe tonight you say, Cecil, I'm not an alcoholic. But you know what? If you ask me, am I going to heaven? Boy, I don't think so. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you pass in death and life, may know that you're born again and you're going to heaven. If you don't know, you're lost. Now, here's what we need to do tonight. And I would not urge anybody, please don't pray this prayer if you don't mean it. But if you really mean it, bow your head to me and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, I don't want to go to a devil's hell. And so tonight I'm willing to turn my back on the old way of life and invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't really care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Oh, friends, listen. This might be the last opportunity God will ever give you. Might be the very last time you'll ever hear a call from the Holy Spirit of God. Please yield. And if you want to talk to me, you call me personally. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the call. 303-471-8534. Host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Now you've said, Cecil, I've probably heard that story of yours 1,000 times. Oh, friends, I never tire. Oh, I never tire of telling people that I was so low I could have crawled under a snake with fallen arches. But Jesus reached down that morning, so early in the morning in Seattle. Saved my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. put my feet on a solid rock and called me into the greatest ministry I've ever dreamed of. I never dreamed that God would let me talk for Him. I'm not too bright, I'm not too smart, but oh, I know the King, and I know I want other people to know Him too. That's what I'm doing this on the broadcast. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Please continue to pray for my wife and my for my fast healing so I can. And they say I don't have to take chemotherapy, which I'm so happy for. Pray that God will give me the strength like He gave old Moses when he was 80. I'm 83, so. But anyway, hold us up in your prayers. I love you for it. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.